started to jump the gun there on the, I looked down and saw 1 through 5 on the previous psalm. Sorry about that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. This evening we're going to begin at verse 27. And we're going to look at 27 through 30. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Verse 27 of this short passage here, 27 through 30, verse 27 actually reads, "The man of Belial laboreth hard, but it is certain he laboreth not for himself, and for sure not for his own good." His labor paints a very vivid picture indeed, and that is of the energy of sin. The energy of sin. This is the ungodly man that we are looking at. The ungodly man has broken every yoke of restraint, every member of his body, every power of his mind is a servant of iniquity unto iniquity. Romans chapter 6, 19. Romans 6, 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Isn't that somewhat of what we heard today in the park by the testimonies given today? Of the previous life, how the previous life was one iniquity unto iniquity, one sin after another. This ungodly man that is mentioned in our passage, this ungodly man or ungodly woman, is anyone of the world who is not a Christian that would seek to draw you away from the truth. Anyone that would seek to draw you away from the truth of the Word of God. Whether it be the principles, whether it be the precepts of the Word of God, it is this man or this woman whom we are looking at. There's actually two types that are described here. One digs up evil. One that digs up evil, and one that sows strife. For the one, if he cannot find something to slander, something to slander you with, something that is on the surface, he will dig up something. He will look for something. And we see this throughout the scriptures of those that sought to do this with the Lord Jesus and those that sought to do this with Paul, that were men of base character. The other will seek to set at variance those that are close. Matthew Henry says that By giving men base characters, one of another, telling lies and carrying ill-natured stories between chief friends, so as to separate them one from another, and to make them angry at, or at least, suspicious of one another. So one digs up evil, and one is right there ready to sow strife. And you've probably seen people just like that. You probably may have someone like that in your actual workplace, or possibly in your family, that has that characteristic, that is always going to be digging at something, always going to try and be and dig up something about you or about your family or about your one of your loved ones, or is jealous, has that awful sin of jealousy, and cannot stand to see any love between one another, and so, in other words, will sow strife to break that up. There's yet another, one more man that fits under this umbrella of the ungodly man or the ungodly woman. And he's found in verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. So you have one that digs up evil, one that sows strife, and now the other that is the violent man. The violent man is most certainly the one that I spoke about in my prayer, an unreasonable man. Those that Paul prays that he would be delivered from, unreasonable men. They have seared consciences. They are the roaring lions that we read about. I don't know if any of you saw 48 Hours last night. Did any of you see that? This very lovely couple probably in their 60s and retired. A beautiful, beautiful couple with a beautiful family. An absolutely beautiful family with a granddaughter, and they had a boat, a large boat, and they were going to sell this boat because they had been sailing for some time in their retirement, and they were going to sell this boat because now they had a grandchild and they wanted to spend more time with their grandchild. So they were going to sell the boat and move back closer to their family. This man that had no scruples whatsoever saw the ad for this boat. They wanted $400,000 for this boat. This man, who was in debt beyond anything that you can imagine, goes to look at the boat. And they suspect that he is not on the level. But the gentleman's wife begins to say something about their grandchild. So he has a son. So he quickly calls his wife and has his wife come down to show them their child, to put the owners of the boat at ease. And it did. And to make a long story short, they go on another occasion out to test drive the boat out into the... This is just up the coast, by the way. And he hires two other people to go with him, which poses as one as an accountant, who is nothing more than a violent, violent gang member. And they take them out to sea, He's already prepared all of the papers and they have them sign over the boat to them. And then they taser the two owners and tie the anchor to them and cast them overboard. And think, absolutely, and he sat there in this interview and spoke of this as though it was nothing. As though it was absolutely nothing. And he got the death penalty. His wife got two life sentences. An unbelievable thing. This is unreasonable men. Those that have a seared conscience, that think nothing of taking another's life, that think nothing of kidnapping a young child. And I pray about that all the time, about our children, that our children would be kept safe. And for that matter, that all of us would be kept safe and delivered from unreasonable and ungodly men. Well, this violent man that we see spoken of here in our passage is one such individual. From these ungodly individuals, whether it be an ungodly man or an ungodly woman, what you are not going to learn from them by having any close association with them is a true concentration of mind. They're not going to stir you on to have a true concentration of mind upon the Word of God. You are not going to learn from them anything about a singleness of mind and heart and of object. You are not going to learn anything from them about diligence. You're not going to learn anything from them about delight. Delighting in the Word of God and in the things of God. And you are most certainly not going to learn anything from them about perseverance. That person is not going to be there encouraging you on in the things of your spiritual life. They can't. And this violent man, and this man that digs up evil, his pleasure is to do just that. It is his pleasure to dig up evil. And his pursuing of evil projects with intensity and activity, as if he were searching for hid treasure. As we are told to search the Scriptures as for hid treasure. Psalm 7:14. Psalm 7:14 through 16. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Is there any harmony between the two? Can there be any harmony between the two? No. It's like oil and water. There's no mixture. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20. 20 and 21. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and in the one of the twain. So Saul is not, while it may appear to be something that he's doing that is good, it's all from an evil motive. The tongue is the chief instrument of doing mischief. See how the tongue is described in James chapter 3, verse 6. James chapter 3, 6 through 9. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is the chief instrument that is used in mischief. Psalm 52, 1 through 4. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. The tongue here is described as a sharp razor. You know how easy it is to be cut by a sharp razor, and how cutting can one's tongue be as well. So the picture here is that the foolish man digs up evil to himself. He treasureth up fire on his own lips. As he diggeth, so he sows evil at the same time. He sows strife in every furrow. Proverbs 15, verse 18. 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. We see this amongst nations, that this one that would sow evil sows jealousies, divisions amongst churches, coldness between ministers and one's congregation, and ill will among friends, and a spirit eminently hateful to God. This is one that sows strife. This is the one that we need to be aware of. This is the man or woman that we want to have no part with. Regardless what they look like, regardless of how much power they have, regardless of how much good they do in the community, whatever it is, they are not your friend. Proverbs 6, 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. verse 19. A false witness of the same chapter. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. What is that? Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And this is one of them. A false witness, one that speaks lies, and he that sows discord amongst the brethren. May we never be guilty of any of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the New Testament. First Corinthians chapter 1:11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And so Paul goes on to tell them that these things ought not to be. And these things ought not to be. There shouldn't be any contentions amongst us. Second Corinthians 12:15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. This is a horrible statement that Paul has to make here. He says, I am glad. It is my pleasure to spend and be spent for you. But he says, the more I do this, the more I love you, the less I'm loved back by you. That's a horrible thing. A horrible testimony. May that never be the case here amongst us either. Galatians chapter 4, 16. Paul says again, 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So he sees very, very well what can happen by preaching the Word of God and by preaching the truth of the Word of God. He says, I'm giving you the truth. Am I becoming your enemy because I've done that? Where open contentions might not work. In other words, this one that would dig up this evil and ungodly and wicked man or woman, that would dig up evil, or that would sow strife, maybe those things don't work. So then we see that whisperings begin to take place. Evil surmisings. Idle, slanderous reports are employed to separate friends. Proverbs 6:14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And many times these things come about by whisperings. Many times it's not enough to come in a violent manner, that it has to come in softer words. Yet nonetheless, just as bad and just as evil. 18:8, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You may not have wounds on your outward body, but when one slanders you and speaks evil about you, it is absolutely as much as a wound as though they would cut you and harm you in the outward way. And many times much worse, because those scars are very difficult to deal with. They're scars upon the heart. If you see or suspect these characteristics in someone, beware. Beware of that individual. If he doesn't deal in direct lies, his dark whisperers are plain enough to be understood, and then they will be exaggerated. So you may have well-meant words or acts that may be misinterpreted. And maybe he has seen, or she has seen or heard, probably only a little bit of something, and then guesses at the rest of it to make their story complete, however they would design their story. And thus, by that report, it's half true and half false. So he plays with your name to bring about some sort of slanderous injury upon you. Now, why do we have these things again? Just like our verse that we looked at this morning in verse 26, "He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." On the surface, it would appear, what is that telling me? What am I learning from this? Why is this here? Well, why is this passage that we're looking at this evening here? Is it necessary that we be told and that we be warned about such individuals, especially you young people that are going to be out in the world and on your own very shortly? And you will be out from under the direct care and oversight of your parents, who have been down that road already themselves and have experienced all of those things. So is it necessary that we hear the Word of God in these things? That we beware of these type of individuals that we'll come in contact with? Because on the outwards, on the surface, they appear to be something that they are not. That's why you hear from behind the pulpit, and not just our pulpit either. That's why you hear so much about marriage. Because those that speak on those issues know from whence they speak. They've seen it. They've experienced it. They have seen their own friends and their own family members experience heartache and heartbreak. And in the case that we're looking at right now, they have also experienced those things. They've experienced those individuals. They could attach names to these people that I'm speaking about here, whether it be a man or a woman. So, is it any wonder that the gossiper, that the one that would dig up strife, dig up evil, the one that would sow discord, the one that is violent, is it any wonder that this gossiper would be classified with the thief and the murderer. First Peter 4:15. First Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. We don't want to be in that classification. And we don't want to have anything to do with anyone that is in that classification. Now, you certainly wouldn't have any trouble if you recognized one as being a murderer, would you? You would readily not attach yourself to that person. That person would not become your bosom buddy if you knew that they were a thief. You would not be ready to attach yourself to that person either. But what about the person that's an evildoer? You see, God sees things entirely different than we do. He sees them crystal clear. There is no gray. There is no fogginess. He has no division there. He can see the murderer and the thief and the evildoer and the busybody all in one basket. For the man who tends to loosen up closest ties and breaks up peace, the peace of whole families, sins against those commandments which charge a crime upon thoughts, the word, the principle, as well as the actual outward act. Matthew 5:21. Matthew 5:21-22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. This individual, it is as though he were laying in wait to lead astray on the unwary into a way that is not good. Proverbs chapter 1:11. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us have one purse. That is exactly what took place. That is the individual that I described to you earlier that killed those people on that boat. He went out. He got two others. Let me tell you what we're going to get. We are going to separate these people over here from their money. And all we have to do is take their life. Kill them. A beautiful family. An absolute beautiful family. Love their children. Love their grandchildren. Seemingly had the world by the tail. did not appear to be Christians, but nonetheless a happy family. And their life was taken like that at an early age by one, by three, by four, counting his wife, that had no conscience about it. Mr. Bridges says, such is the heavy service of the most cruel master. He wears out both the minds and the bodies of his slaves and gives them at the end only the fearful wages of eternal death. We have an enemy. It is for sure that we have an enemy. And he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is also more subtle than any beast of the field. And if he is not able to take you in one way, he will seek to take you in another. And it is incumbent upon each person that professes Jesus Christ as their Savior to be watchful and to be on their guard against this enemy that we have, because he never tires. He never tires of seeking after you. And he will send one and another and another and another your way to seek to tempt you, to try you, and to allure you away from the Word of God. And oftentimes in ways more subtle than you can possibly imagine. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. And thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God that you have given us to feast upon all the day long. Lord, we do pray that you would strengthen us, that you would work mightily within us to will and to do of your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.